I have, over my career, been blessed to have the opportunity to commemorate the lives of a great many people in the process of offering a sermon, a service, a funeral. At each and every one of those funerals, I've reminded people of a variety of things. I've reminded them of the importance, indeed, the healthiness of mourning. When we do that act of mourning together, when we share in our hard times, share in our sorrows, but we share in the important work of remembering. And in fact, the church has engaged in the important work of remembering from its very first days. Our biblical authors called it a cloud of witnesses. The fact that there is in our Father's kingdom in heaven not just some of God's people, not just a small population of those who were faithful, but each and every person who received the grace of Jesus Christ, every last one of them have been invited to share in the feast that has no end. The kingdom of this world is a broken place. I don't think any of us would argue anything to the contrary. The world that we live in is full of strife, division, probably not worth forgetting that this upcoming week we have a large national election. If you've not noticed some national division over the last couple of weeks, you have been immensely blessed, because I don't think the rest of us were able to ignore it. Whether they called you on the telephone or saturated the television or simply had signs in everybody's yards, we have been reminded greatly of the degree of division that our world is engaged in. The kingdom of God is not about division. The kingdom of God is about reunification. The kingdom of God is about drawing together any and all who will believe into a great cloud of witnesses that knows no end. And this is principally what we remember on All Saints Day. It's what we remember every time I do a funeral sermon. It's what we remember every time we gather together to commemorate. And that is that those who are lost to us in this life are but lost for a brief span of time. And I'm not going to say that that span of time is in any way, shape, or form not horribly painful. Obviously it is. All of us who have lost have felt the sting of that loss. We've felt the sorrow of that loss. And we've understood that there is something great and important and vast that is no longer a part of our lives, because without those loved ones, we truly do feel an emptiness. And oftentimes, the question is, how do we recover from that? And of course, the answer is, we don't fully recover around that loss. That emptiness, we grow around. It remains with us on some level, whether it is someone who died just this year, or even in my own case, my mother passed away, 30 some years ago. And yet that loss remains with me. I have grown around it. But what do we do? How do we deal with that emptiness? We fill it with promise. We fill it with hope. We fill it with the promise and hope that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he speaks to the disciples, the followers, and he gives them the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are you who mourn, because you will be comforted." And what is it that we take comfort in? But the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his promise that death has no permanent hold over us. In this life, we will be truly without hope without Christ. In this life, we will be truly without comfort without God's promises. Those of us who do have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who gather around those promises, we understand that that hope carries us through our darkest moments, fills the void of that empty space with the knowledge that we will be gathered together again in our Father's kingdom. When I am teaching our children, especially our teenagers in particular, oftentimes the question arises among the teens, why is the world the way it is? Why is the world unfair? Why do bad things happen to good people? For that matter, why do bad things happen, period? And I'm always very clear with my teens when I'm teaching them that when God designed this world, and he designed us for this world, it was with the intention that we would not know death. If you read the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve did not live in a place that knew death. We weren't supposed to experience that, but as sin entered into the world, so too did death. And as Christ died on the cross in order that sin might be forgiven, he was resurrected from the tomb in order to promise to each and every one of us that we will share in his resurrection. God's great plan to undo the damage of our leaving the Garden of Eden was resurrection. And while we wait here in this world to be reunified with our lost loved ones that we will remember today, we do so in the midst of promises. Promises that we do not die, but instead, we enter into God's kingdom where all those who've gone before us wait and where we ourselves will one day enter in and hear those same words that I speak to every family at every funeral that I've ever done, and that is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest. Those words will be spoken to each and every one of us one day. And after that moment, there will be, from that point forward, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more emptiness. All of the woes that Jesus listed in his sermon that he was giving today will be no more. And in that kingdom, we will have the final comfort, not only being reunified again once more with all of our loved ones who are lost, that we will enter into God's kingdom and into our relationship with God in heaven, fully unified as we never could be here in this life.